Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is April 25.
Yo, the month is almost over already. I do not understand. This year is flying.
It's May. It's May.
This year is, see, this year y'all can't say nothing when I'm like, Christmas is next week.
Christmas is next week.
Because y'all know, y'all got 3 months before I say that. I start saying it right after we come back from 4th of July. Y'all can't say nothing when I say
it. I didn't even think it was going to be 3 months, actually. Shit, you know?
I don't say it until after the 4th of July, because when summer's almost over, that's
when it goes. Thanksgiving is next week.
When the summer's over, the year is over. That's it. Fall don't count. Fall is a blink. Yeah.
Anyway. Spring is turning into a blink. This shit is over.
It is flying, though. It is flying. It is flying. Yeah, bruh, he's got some stuff to do. He's going to try to pop in if he can. But yeah, how y'all doing today? Hey, Ari.
I'm good, but I was telling Inca, all of last week is a complete blur for me. She was asking me how Boogie Oki was, and I'm like, damn, we didn't even tape last week. Like, the whole, I feel like today was Monday after.
Was that last week or week before? I don't even know.
It was last week. Well, not this weekend past, but the previous. Yeah, it was like week before last. Yeah, but I feel like this is. I feel like this is the Monday after Easter. Like legit.
Because you had lost a week.
I feel like I lost a week for real. Like I can't. All last week is a blur.
And I am sick, so I want to apologize to the listeners in advance for all the throat clearing, congestion.
Long as it ain't the cold.
It's not COVID. I took 3 tests so far.
Okay.
All negative. But I just feel like somebody punched me in the face and poured something thick up my nose. It's really bad.
Pause.
That wasn't even pause worthy.
As soon as I heard thick.
I mean, that happens. But, you know, not
hey,
in this
hey,
moment.
Hey. Too much information.
Hey, I'm a married lady. If you don't know nothing else, you know we get to that.
Yes,
it's the only last they say,
and that's good. That's good. And that's healthy. And that keeps the sparks flying, and you know that's good. That's very good that you're getting it, because I know some married people that don't get it on and get it in at all, and it's like damn.
I know so many people in sexless marriages. It makes me so sad.
What is that about?
I don't know, but
I think people get to a point where they're just like the partnership, the companionship. Is what it is. I was in a sexless relationship for a hot second, and we were just like roommates. But the only reason it worked was because I knew I was moving out.
you had a time limit on this.
Because
I was like,
horizon.
We're not doing this forever. I'm leaving. It wasn't even like drama. I was like, I'm leaving. But I don't know. Listen, everybody's different.
Like, you get to a point where you're at your peak and you go crazy.
Yeah.
And then there's a sharp decline after that where you're just like, fuck it.
And I think a lot of it, because I've definitely been in that space too, and a lot of it is also like all the kind of little, what do they call it, microaggressions and the little things,
yeah,
and
the
they start
things.
To build up, and of course then they start to go into the intimate part of your relationship, and then you don't really like that. You didn't like that person no more. Like, I didn't really like you at all. So like, having sex was out of the question. I don't even really... I don't want to be around you, let alone doing that. But again, like you said, if you're in a marriage and that shit happens, it gets tough because you can't just bounce because it's kids. Right. It's a little bit, so you just get stuck in a cycle.
And so much of sex is mental. So
it is.
Especially for women.
Yes. Because it's true. Women. It's like, if I don't, the only way I can have sex with you if I don't really fuck with you is if it's literally just sex. And there's like, I don't actually have to engage with you at all. And you leave my presence after right? That doesn't work in a marriage.
Call the Uber before you
that doesn't work in a marriage. And it is true, because I've had this happen in long-term relationships. Like, if we're not good, the sex is probably not gonna be okay.
Yeah.
But then there's, and I'm not gonna necessarily want to, but there's also one of these TV people used to have a saying like, sex is never a problem in marriage unless it's a problem. And like, mm-hmm. once it's a problem, it's the problem, right? And it gets to be this thing, because I've been in there too, it gets to be this thing where it's so big that you almost can't get past it, right?
Yeah,
like, it almost feels awkward because
it's so personal problem. To speak about. Yeah. Like, it just brings in so many parts of you. So
it's a hard thing to discuss.
Yeah, I've been divorced, so I know what those teeny tiny little like betrayals and those things that seem tiny. I know how that festers into like a big ass problem later. So
yeah, and the worst thing is like when you're in that shit and like there's sometimes it happens where like one person is like you said, you know, mad or dealing with microaggressions or frustrated or whatever the situation is, and the other person is completely clueless.
Right.
So another person's like, wait, what can we?
What's going on?
Well, we had no sex in like 6 weeks. What's popping? And other person's, you know, got the thing she or he is dealing with. And another person's like, but what? Like, what's the, it's weird. It's weird. And I do think that's something that needs to be spoken about more publicly, because like you said, I think it happens a lot more than people want to admit, you know, especially nowadays with social media, everybody's on the gram fronting like everybody's, you know, fucking Lucy and Ricky.
Everybody's posting that Bratz doll like disheveled.
Like, oh, we just got in. And then some people do, and that's great, but like, stop. You know what I'm saying? And I've also noticed something else that we can go into this, which is a totally unplanned topic, by the way. But I've also noticed, and maybe it's me, I'm tripping, but like I've also noticed more and more women, definitely more and more women, talking about sex a lot more, the sex that they're having, I guess, on social media.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there just hasn't been a safe space for these, even reproductive conversations for so long. It was just like a thing that ladies don't speak about in public.
True.
But ladies need to speak about it because the orgasm gap is real.
It's real. Yo. And if you spoke about it, it was on some like the women. So let's say even let's take like the 90s and stuff like that. If women were talking about it, it was talked about from a very like, it was only the hypersexual part. Like, this is what I need to get off. This is what I want. Yeah. You know, it was like the Adina Howard.
I need a nigga to throw me around the room.
I need a roughneck.
Lil' Kim or Norah Jones.
Yeah, we weren't talking about it.
Nowhere in the middle.
It was either jump off or making very deep love. There was no in-between place. And we weren't talking about it within like the confines of relationships, right? So for me, for example, I had a really big issue after I had surgery for my fibroids, the way I could enjoy sex changed. And for a while, immediately after, certain things were very uncomfortable for me. And I would tell my partner this, and they just weren't fucking listening. So I was just like, then we not fucking. Like, it was that simple.
Because it's like, the shit ain't cold, the shit hurt. I ain't good.
I had a girlfriend who had her fibroids removed. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be way more than they thought.
Right.
Like, to the tune of like 18 or 20 pounds that they took out of her belly.
Damn.
Right.
And she said it felt like she had a new, like, vulva, whole joint, brand new. She had to learn sex from scratch.
Well, and that's
the dude she was with was like, I'm not doing this. So they broke up. They were together for years.
You had to. And my thing was like, this may not even be permanent. But just like for now, I need you to like be easy. And he just was not trying to hear me. So I was like, are we not fucking? And that's my thing. Like, I will abstain before I have bad sex. I refuse. Because I've had too much good sex in my life. I fucking refuse to have bad or disappointing sex.
That's kind of lead. I was going to, you know, bring this up at some point, but we're going there now. So then we could. So this whole DJ Envy thing, before we get into that specifically.
Yes.
I'm trying to say this without sound like a dickhead, right? But like, I pride myself, me, myself, pertinent.
Go ahead and ring your bell.
I pride myself on trying to make sure my partner.
Your partner is satisfied.
And has orgasms, right?
As you should. As you should.
Yeah, yeah. I actually enjoy that. The watching, you know, I enjoy, you know, making
Yay,
the woman
pop.
Yeah, gay pop, exactly.
You should. That's what it should be.
But it's blowing my skull that so many niggas don't.
So many niggas don't care.
I'm like, this really, nigga? Like,
do not care.
This like,
don't care at all?
They believe that
it's the I still hit ass niggas
to women and not yes. anything that you give
to women. Or you do let to me, each other.
Yes. Like, kind of let me tell you
like,
something.
I'm, it's like, a, whole, like the color purple. He got on me and did his business.
We did his business. It's this whole I still hit mentality. Yeah,
so it don't matter.
It's a number thing.
But you hit wackly.
Right, but it's a but like some of these niggas feel like it's a numbers game, so they're not even trying to do repeat performances, right? They're just trying to
say I smash. Yeah.
Exactly, which is stupid. And the one thing I say every time this comes up on social media, I'm like, maybe it's a Gen X thing, I don't know, but my peer group always prided themselves on like leaving some shit like you want a high five, you want bitches, yeah. like you want your name to be in these streets, like yo, that nigga there, that one right there.
Yeah, you're gonna be all right with him.
Yeah, so I was in my late 30s before I realized that there were other like grown adult, that there were so many grown adult women who had never had a man bring them to orgasm. And it's like, I was shocked actually, because, you know, one thing I think some men maybe do or don't know, I don't know, depending on your sexual history, is like, it's true that women can't easily orgasm just through penetration. It just means you have to do a little bit more work. And, and it's also true that every woman's not the same, but it's not that hard. It's not as hard as
this is about paying attention and so. Okay, so we keep it real in these streets, right?
Yes,
so,
we keep it real.
So
we try.
We're really going. I swear to God, I hope none of my relatives.
Listen, I promise. I was just trying to tell y'all about a runny nose. And
exactly.
No, it's okay. I'm happy that we're talking about this.
It ain't on you, Inca.
This is helpful. This is helpful, I think. Well, we're helping people.
So one of my early questions in dating or whatever you want to call it, right, is when I meet a woman. And when we get to the space and we start to talk, you know, about sex, one of my early questions is, do you masturbate? And I've been shocked because a lot of women tell me no. And I'm like, really?
Really?
Oh, I've had, yeah, absolutely. Like, wow. No. But I think that comes from like some, you know, some church shit.
They grew up.
They grew up. It's like, oh, you're nasty if you do that. Oh, you're nasty to suck dick and all that shit. So I've had women say no. Okay. But the ones that say yes, and there's definitely way more that say yes than no, right? The ones that say yes, oh, I can't believe I'm going here. But I'm like, okay, cool. Let me watch.
Because okay, I want I get to that.
See.
Oh, Jeffrey, you out
you
here.
Know what
yes.
they like. Because they yeah, know what see. They like.
Because if you don't know how to make your body do these things, how the fuck am I supposed to figure it out?
I get that.
I appreciate you know that you're approaching it like a tutorial from
Jeffrey. Yeah, like, okay, cool. It's like, makes me you know, happy. Course, and, you know, it's participation and trophies.
Right,
and all
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
But it's like, let me see what it is. So, like, now I can know what it is. And maybe it's something that you didn't know that I've learned that I could do, you know what I'm saying, like right. whatever, but again, I just can't believe so many dudes don't do any of this.
And they're also like, they're threatened by masturbation, which is stupid.
And threatened by toys.
They're threatened by toys. But here's the thing that I found, right? It's like, there is this, I think that some men are afraid of just not being able to match up performance wise, right? Because my thing is, if you are listening with your body to how a woman's body responds, meaning mm-hmm. paying attention, right? You can tell by touch and response, like what's working, what's not, right? And also what you have to do though is create a safe environment. There are things that I've done with some men that I would not do with other men. How comfortable I feel with this partner and how much I trust that this partner is going to make sure I'm good and not push me too far and not, you know, do whatever like that. So it varies person to person. So there might be something that a woman's not doing with you, but it's probably you, my nigga. Like,
well, I will say this again.
Create a safer space.
Maybe I'm jumping out the window.
Right. You
know, but I've heard that I'm very good at creating a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So,
your ex said you had the friendly face and people just walk up and start talking.
But the thing is, like, if a woman feels comfortable,
if a woman feels comfortable, it is so
it's lit. And it benefits everybody. This is what men don't get. If you actually pay attention to making sure the woman's good, it's better for both of y'all. The sex is better for both fucking people.
Listen, you don't get them jump out. I'm packing your lunch. Like,
You don't get them jump out the bed and high five each other joints without making sure she's
She's comfortable, so she can really do. Because again, women are people too, right? So you know, everybody has their little fantasies and little things that maybe they think, you know, might be a little too much. Like you said, this might be some shit you won't do with this nigga because he might not be able to deal with that level. So like, if you can get the woman comfortable to do all the things that she wants to do, that she, you know, that sub level of things that she wants to do, that she doesn't break out all the time, it's bonkers. It's amazing. And again, I'm just stunned that niggas don't do that.
Niggas
don't know how to create a safe space. It is knowing that you have a confidence in that man. Like, I can tell you anything, you're not gonna, you know, put that shit on Twitter.
You know, ain't gonna leak my nudes or stupid
and
shit.
Also that you're not gonna judge me.
Right.
That's the whole also other thing where like, oh, you a hoe, how do you nasty experience?
We taught you that nasty shit.
Exactly. Yeah, we met in the same place, my nigga. Like,
right.
Of course.
And also it's like men are there's an impatience to get to it that I found that's really irritating. Like, okay, if you can just like prolong it a little bit just to take time. Well, because I think here's the thing that I'm amazed that grown men don't seem to understand. Niggas gonna come regardless. Barring very few exceptions, men are gonna come regardless. It can be black, they're gonna come. Women are not gonna automatically come. And I think that some men who don't know better assume it's something wrong with us because you know that you gonna come regardless. So you figure that if we don't come,
that's your problem.
Must be a problem with us, but it's just not the same thing. And also, like, it's like I said, it's not that hard to figure out. It's not that hard. And I do tell women, to your point, Jeff, about masturbating. Like, I had a friend who she had been abstinent for quite some time, but she used electronic toys all the time, and she was saying that she didn't. It was harder once she started having sex again. It was harder for her to orgasm with a man. And I was like, stop with the toys, do manual masturbation for a little while, because that teaches you how to tell somebody else to touch you, which is very different.
Instead of just the battery operated, you know.
Exactly. That teaches you how you want to be touched, and then you can die.
You can also tag team with the toys.
And do that too.
The toys is fine. Oh, so let me ask this question.
The toys can numb you a little bit, though.
They can. You can go a little crazy with the toys.
With the toys. You gotta
be easy with the toys. Especially when you up in like level 9, 10, when you start beatboxing and shit. Like, that's a little too
far. He said beatboxing. This thing's crazy. So let me ask this question. And I've been thinking about this. I haven't done this yet. So if a nigga has toys at the crib, is that cool?
I don't love that because I don't know use them with.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. They need
Did
to
you
be
wash
mine.
It properly? Did you blah, 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 blah?
Now they need to be wash mine. Dishes properly. No.
Niggas don't wash their ass properly.
Are not good enough.
They're not sanitized properly. Okay,
yeah,
nah,
they need to be mine.
All right,
let's start with
that
a brand new, fresh toy.
Yeah, right out the box.
From other like lesbians too. Like, I want a new strap for me.
Yeah. Don't give me the fucking community strap. Yeah. Okay, so let's lead on into DJ Envy. DJ Envy did an interview with him and his wife have written a book. They've had ongoing podcasts for a few years now, and they've had ups and downs in their marriages and in the marriage where Envy cheated with Erica Mena. I guess that's one of the people, but that was the one that was.
I was about
public.
To say, wasn't it multiple?
Yeah, but Erica was, I guess, the most public one.
Right.
To this point, before I get deeper about him not understanding the orgasm part, to this point, it was something about this, I think, that went right under the radar. So some text messages were leaked from, I don't know if that was Erica or not, whoever this other woman was. So I don't want to put on Erica. I don't know who it was. But there was another woman that Envy was dealing with, and she leaked some text messages. So in the text messages, she was talking about using a strap on him, right? And she was like, yeah, you know.
I think I remember this.
Remember this? She was like, yeah, I'm going to put the strap on in your mouth and get it wet, and then I'm going to stick it in your ass and whatever, right? Now, and I'm not judging by saying this, but Envy was what's the word I'm looking for? Engaging. Like, he wasn't like, yeah. Nah, you bugging. He was like, so
he was open to it. Yeah.
He was open to it. So I'm not bringing it up to question his sexuality.
Right.
What I'm bringing it up for is kind of what we said. And it seems like in their marriage, and I don't know because I wasn't there, but it seems like in their marriage, again, there was something that Envy was kind of into that maybe
that they weren't exploring.
That he was maybe very uncomfortable telling his wife about. So he went outside to get this thing that he wanted to explore. And again, that's a huge part of the clash sometimes with sexuality on either side. It's like you're not really keeping it all the way real.
Right.
About what you like or don't like, I said, that sub-level shit. And so you don't get the sub-level shit at home. I
mean, it's also the problem with being with somebody since high school, right? Because sometimes you don't let your sexual relationship evolve when you've been together that long. Absolutely. You also got to experiment with each other over the years.
There's a couple
things that play here, though. Like the whole Madonna whore.
I was about to go there. Like you're my wife.
Like, I'm not going to slut the mother of my children out. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, they feel like that. Yeah.
But then what happens is a lot of, and I'm terrible. I've been a participant in this as well. I'm off that narcotic now. I'm better. Okay, so you don't slut your wife out, right? Because that's the Madonna thing, and you got to go with the side piece for the slutting shit, right? But your wife, I don't know, wants to get slutted out is the problem.
But she might want to get slutted out.
Wants to explore.
She want to be
She's sexually frustrated because she's not getting off the way she wants to get off. So she slides outside on the low and does things with a Jeffrey Sledge who doesn't have these hangups. You know what I'm saying? But again, I'm off that narcotic. I'm not doing that no more. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. But anyway, so Envy, we can move. So Envy, it was discussed that Envy's wife had not had an orgasm. And I'm gonna put an addendum here that she didn't put with him.
Right.
For 10 years.
Not only that she had it, but that she was faking it, which I think is, and women, I gotta say this, faking orgasms, you're doing other women a disservice because these niggas think they doing something.
And ain't doing
and
shit.
My thing is, if you fall for faking it, like Jeffrey, tell me if I'm wrong, y'all can actually, if you are, this is doing a lot, but if you're inside a woman, when she comes, you feel that shit.
That's what I was about to say. You can feel it. You can feel the pulsating, or if you're doing manual labor, you can.
Sean's about to come in here and be like, "What the
fuck? What the fuck is he talking about?" If you're doing manual labor, you can feel or even physically see the vagina pulsating back and forth, so you know that Sean. So there's
immediately
turned
off.
It's really like you can tell when the orgasm is happening.
That's why I've never understood men who can be fooled by a woman faking.
By just a woman just yelling, like
never.
And honestly, that's annoying.
Also, the best joints is when I'm completely silent.
Yes, I'm saying.
High key.
All that yelling shit. Like, why are you, like that African thing? Why are you running? Why are you yelling so much? Like, why are you yelling? I mean, again, sometimes yelling is real, but like over you yelling all the time is like, come on, bro.
Right. Come on.
Shout out to Jada Fire.
We just doing porno now.
And MP said, he was like, I felt like I was putting in work. And it's just like, you're not putting in the right work. Like, that's
for 10 years, though.
For 10 years, though. But that's also Gia's fault. But it's also Gia's fault.
Yeah, if I was she did Envy, herself a disservice.
If I was Envy, I would have been pissed the fuck off. Because I'm like, why did you lie to me for 10 years? Why? Like, why did you lie to
me? Well, there's a means to the end now.
And what's that?
Like, this is content. Like, we're selling content now.
True.
Oh, yeah. Right? So if it adds to our bottom line, it takes away the embarrassment.
Yeah.
Right? Like if I'm hustling couple goals, right? One of the easiest ways for me to hustle couple goals is to make something to make myself relatable, right? Like financially, they're not a very relatable couple, right? Like she goes to do whatever errand she is and like $5,000 worth of clothes, right? Like
that's not Rolls Royces and Ferraris,
she's driving a Rolls Royce to the Whole Foods, right? Yeah, so that's not exactly, you know, going to be relatable. But this is a very relatable topic, And if it means I get egg on my face and I use this as an air quotes learning experience, right? Like it becomes couple goals and we could sell this shit. And I, you know, there was a clip where she talked about like, you know, staying like their whole spiel now, their whole angle is selling content as a couple.
Right.
Yeah.
Me, myself, personally, I don't know that there's a number high enough for me to admit to the world that I've been faking orgasms for decades.
But you know what? What struck me, and I'll be honest, I didn't listen to the entire interview. I only saw a clip. But what struck me was that, okay, so like, for example, let's take the most dirty laundry, quote unquote, dirty laundry celebrity couple we know, which is Will and Jada. The thing about what Will and Jada do is that they'll offer up the ugly parts, but the part that people always miss is that immediately after there is and this is how we fix
a solution, today, a solution,
right? Yeah.
This is what
that taught us. This is the work we did. This is what we realized. This is what we did. And this is where we are now. People always skip that part on social media, but that part is always there. I don't know. Did Envy and Gia have that part? Like, did they do what?
I don't know, because I didn't watch the interview. I just heard he was like, yeah, we're better now. I mean, whatever that means.
She gets these nets off, though, is the question everybody
has. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Because Khaled's wife said the same thing, and Khaled don't even pussy. And I'm like, how that work? What?
And there definitely was no solution to that. Khaled was it was like, it is what it is, nigga.
Nigga, nah.
It's never going to happen.
That works. That works in... You going to shut up in this 35,000 square feet house, okay? you want to be down to Bell Harbor, okay? You want all of these trade things off. Like this a lot of times this is the trade off.
The price you got
to
pay.
And to be quite fair, it's not even just the money, because there are women who go through this for a nigga working second shift at the post office, right? Like this is not exactly like solely identifiable to money.
Mm-hmm.
Sean is breaking up.
This is about women that consistently put their own gratification and their own satisfaction to the side.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, Sean, is that, you know, I know we have all this sex positivity kind of language and stuff, but it's not even that deep. What we struggle with is the fact that still people struggle with the idea that women can make choices about sex that is just about their pleasure and not about giving pleasure to a man, right? Like, that's the thing that people, like, we saw the reaction when AJ, or I don't know if y'all saw it, when AJ Johnson said for her 50th birthday, she had a threesome.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they were like, oh shit, she had a train run on her for 50. That's how she read. And I'm like, y'all niggas not understand that this is what she wanted.
Yeah,
like,
she wanted that. She requested that.
She got
that.
Serviced. That's what happened. Y'all, they literally cannot switch that thought. They were like, oh, she made herself a jump off. No, she got serviced. That's what she wanted. She had two men to pleasure her for her 50. But some men are literally incapable of switching that to really think about that. This is also like what a woman wants and what she enjoys. And that's the
patriarchy and the Madonna shit and all that shit. Like,
the patriarchy is failing men in such an incredible way too, because there's nothing better than like getting your partner there.
That's
like
what I,
how much
that's
better
I,
you will feel.
That's what I if, think. I
if mean, a person what, is so hyped to come back and sleep with you again.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You should
like, do that thing you do.
You should want... Somebody told me that the advice their father told them was, son, the goal is to be invited back. And my thing was like, the goal is to be a legend in the group chat. Like, you want, when you meet her girls, they need to be like, oh, you're Jeffrey.
Oh, hi. Okay.
All right. You know what I mean? Like, because them names be ringing bells if you the one. I'm just saying.
You want the emoji next to your name in the phone.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So niggas, come on, get it together. Let's move on. I wanted to mention, there's so much to talk about. I guess, RIP to K Slay passed away after
the drama king
4-month battle with COVID. I think he was in a coma most of that time.
Right.
I don't believe he ever came out the hospital. He was, you know, pretty bad off. He passed away, I guess, a week or so ago. They had the funeral was actually yesterday at the Apollo.
Yeah, the Apollo. I heard it wasn't, well, I only heard this from one person, so don't take this as official, but I heard it wasn't that well attended.
Yeah, well, I saw some pictures and it was like a lot of empty Cece and Apollo, and obviously this is no disrespect to Kay Slater or anybody in his family, but I definitely thought it would have been, you know, I thought more people there, but I, you know, I don't know. Yeah, but I saw some pictures and it definitely was not a crowded, a crowded ceremony. But yeah, you know, peace to him and his family and Papoose, who we discovered, got signed to Jive years ago, and obviously Remy and the rest of his extended East Harlem family. I want to mention this idiot who thought it was some fly shit to fuck with Mike Tyson on a plane.
Like, is it crack?
Crack!
What are you doing?
Crack! Who so is
I forget the dude's name, and I'm not even gonna bother looking him up. Fucking, but he has a record, so he's been a dickhead before. This is just who he is and what he does. But he saw Mike Tyson on a flight going from, the flight was headed from San Francisco to Florida, and he gets hyped and he's standing up. He's right behind Mike.
Well, at first I heard that Mike actually took a picture with him.
Mike took the selfie and said hi and all that. Yeah, Mike was accommodating. And he just kept it going.
And they were still on the tarmac, actually.
Yeah. He just kept it going.
They also said dude was being a dick to the flight attendant.
Also, he was just a dickhead, period.
Yeah, he was being an ass. Apparently, there was a report that he was being an ass to the flight attendant. And that was one of the other additional things that prompted Mike to be like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, chill the fuck out. So Mike turned around and gave him quick beats.
Mike told him to chill multiple times because dude was right behind him, like in his ear. And Mike was, because, you know, Mike be high, might be on some Zen shit.
Yeah, might be smoking that
shit. Might be trying to be really cool out and shit. And so what was leaked at first was this video of Mike over his seat, like, you know, when you stand up, turn around over your seat, like, kind of, it looked like he was wailing on dude. But when you saw a picture of the guy, he just had cuts on his forehead.
Mike didn't wail on him like he could.
Mike did not wail on him. Mike intentionally, obviously, did not punch him in the face. Mm-hmm. And even though he drew blood, it was a couple of cuts. For all intents and purposes, for Iron Mike Tyson, this was love tap. Yeah.
Exactly. So
and then Mike just walked off the plane on his own.
Yeah, they turned the plane back and then Mike off the plane.
We hope those were love taps. Right. That nigga might have had a concussion.
True.
And he just might not have broke blood.
True.
Fair.
And Mike, I don't know about Mike taking it easy as much as because of his position, Mike couldn't really get his hips
couldn't swing
all the way off. He only hit him the way he could hit him.
Yeah.
From where he was.
Mike don't really, you know, somebody was like, yo, Mike didn't really have to hit him. Like, I'm like, yo, Mike Tyson, like, them old Brooklyn niggas, they don't come with an off switch. Once they on,
it's
it
lit.
Don't, it, you just got to wait till he tires out.
Yeah, it's like the thing with Bruce Banner saying that he's always angry, right? Yeah. Like that's kind of what that is. It's like, it's not that he turns into the Hulk. The Hulk is always there.
He's always right there. Yeah.
I'm just like, what would make you think? And this is we've talked about this before. Dude don't look super young. He like might be in his 30s or something.
Yeah, he's old enough to know better.
Y'all gotta stop fucking with 45 plus year old black men. They will fuck you up. Y'all ain't never, all these motherfuckers who grew up in zero tolerance schools where y'all couldn't fight on the playground and shit, you ain't never squared up, you ain't never shot a fair one. We had to fight to survive out here, my nigga.
Leave him alone.
Like, we did that shit every fucking week, once a week. Yeah. Like, you're not gonna be the Gen Xer in these streets when it's just hands. You're just not. Yeah. It's not a thing that's gonna happen.
I saw this other story I found interesting. So Malcolm Nance, who's a correspondent mostly for CNN, MSNBC, he's on CNN sometimes. He's a former naval officer. I think he got high up too, maybe like a colonel or something. Like, he was way up the ladder. He's like a career Navy man. He retired and he went into being a correspondent on the news and talking about war and stuff like that, and Trump and everything, because he hit one of the things he did in the Navy apparently was like he was the person who really dealt with spies, so he kind of knows like the signs when somebody's been bought or been turned. So he's done a lot of shit. So I saw last week and he had been reporting a lot about the war in Ukraine. And so last week, yo, your man joined something, and he's over in the Ukraine fighting. Yeah, he got like the gun, like he was
on whose behalf?
I forget the some type of almost like a National Guardish type of thing.
Oh wow!
And he's over there. He's like, I got tired of talking. I'm done. This is a bad. This is a wrong war. You know, and your man is actually like fighting over there in the Ukraine, like as we speak.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was wild.
Are we sure he not a spy?
That's what I'm saying. Because that sounds very spy-esque.
That sounds very spyish.
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds very like an asset. It sounds very asset-y.
I ain't saying he is, but I ain't saying he ain't. Yeah, but your man's over there with the guns. He got the whole uniform on, and he getting it cracking. So, you know, peace to Malcolm Nance. Good luck, man, you know? Let's do it now. What are y'all watching?
So, I feel like I had something. Oh, so I told y'all I watched this docu-series on Hulu called Captive Audience, which is about... if those of us, I don't know if you'll remember Inca, but there was this mini series about this boy who was kidnapped called I Know My Name Is Steven. It was like a movie of the week mini series that came out like back in the 80s, I guess, about this kid who was kidnapped and 10 years later he came home. So it was about that and about what the family was going through and about his story. But then what I didn't know is that when the guy was an adult, he got killed in a car accident. There was a whole second side of the story, and I don't want to spoil it. But there was a whole second side of the story with his family that I never fucking knew about. That was wild. And I don't want to spoil it, but if y'all get a chance, watch it. Because I was like, oh, shit. I didn't know about that.
This is a docuseries?
Yeah, it's on Hulu. It's like three episodes, maybe four. Okay. All right. Now I'm watching, and this is just like binge fluff content, this joint called Unreal. It's also on Hulu. It's a fake behind the scenes look on the production of a series that's kind of like The Bachelor, about how producers manipulate. Have you seen it, Inca? I see you nodding.
I've seen a couple of episodes. I think it was originally on like FXX or something that sounds like that. Right.
Yeah. It's about how the producers manipulate the cast and manipulate the storyline and the drama that's going on between them and all. So it's fluff, but it's a good binge. But lastly, I want to recommend this because I've never talked about it, I think, on here, and it's about to end. There's a series I also found on Hulu's original FX. It's called Better Things with this comedian, Pam Alden. And she was one of, what's my man's name? Who, the comedian who was flashing his dick at his staff.
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. She was one of Louis C.K.'s like people. And he co-created the show with her, but he was booted off after the second season because of his scandals. But it's based on her life. And it's honestly just this, it's a kind of semi-biographic sitcom about this working comedian and actress who's divorced from her husband, who he's getting all this alimony from her, and she's raising her three kids and trying to stay a working actress, and her mom lives on a guest house in the property, and her mom's real eccentric. It's not crazy twists and turns and any of that. It's just really slice of life. It's five seasons. It's excellent. It's excellent. It's about to end. The last episode, I think, is this week, but it's really excellent TV. I enjoy it a lot. So I just wanted to recommend that.
Okay.
Is that also FX?
It started on FX. I don't know if it's still air. It still has the FX logo in the episodes, but I think now it's straight to Hulu. I don't know. Maybe it's
I've heard of that. It's on my list. I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, it's good.
Bro, what you watching?
Hey, I mean, I've just been watching everything that you guys have been watching. I watched the Snowfall season finale, which was actually really amazing. I was very shocked that so many people were like, you know, it wasn't that good. And I was just like, what show were you watching? But, you know, that and Winning Time, like I'm all in.
Yeah, I watched. Yeah, it's good. That's next episode. It's really good.
And I watched the Magic Doc through and through. And that was pretty much. Oh, there was a John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, I got that on my list.
On Netflix.
Oh, I saw that. Is it good?
It's very good because it was a lot of footage from him. So it was really let me rephrase that. Not a lot of footage, but a lot of audio.
So you hear him.
They taped a lot of, yeah. So it's a lot of his words, right? So it was much more specific, and it, I think, focused a little more on the victims here. Mm. And you know, unlike a lot of the serial killer true crime genre, we always kind of focused on the killer,
mm-hmm.
and not the victims. So this one really had victims. It had people who had pretty much almost been victims, young men that had worked for him, because that was kind of his MO, having a construction company. That was a part of his ability to get young men to kind of let their guard down.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he would hire them for jobs. So he had a legitimate business. He was a legitimate businessman. And he, you know, all we know is the clown shit, because the clown shit is very creepy. And mm-hmm. so it's easy. But the reality was, is he was also a precinct captain, which in Chicago means, you know, basically he's a local guy to round out votes for the Democratic Party, right? Like, you know, they were saying, you know, he's the guy. If you needed new trash cans, you go to John. John goes to, you know, he makes sure you got this, or needed the street cleaned, or, you know, that sort of stuff. It's a very low level politician, but a politician nonetheless. And, you know, they didn't really dive into the, how can I say this? They didn't really dive into the real trafficking part of that whole young boys mm-hmm. network that had been in other series, but they did specify and they did identify quite a few people. They're still unidentified bodies. Actually, they were 33 in all, which I was not clear on. I did not realize it was that many.
Wow.
There were 33 in all, and several of them are still unidentified, you know.
And it's been ages for ages now. Yeah, they might have.
Well, also a lot of them were young and gay, right? Yeah. Like so a lot of times he would kind of get these boys, you know, at the bus station. Very stereotypical 70s seedy big city type of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and what the woman was saying was that, hey, a lot of those kids didn't have families who were looking for them.
Yeah,
they didn't have, you know, no.
They kicked them out, and it was what it was. Yeah,
kind of on their own. So, you know, you don't know that Uncle Timmy was killed because you don't know you had an Uncle Timmy.
Yeah, you don't even know you had one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
he talked about. You know, yeah. What about you, Eiko?
I want to just piggyback off that and say, is his name Joe Buck? That. Guy that got
the politician and like
Ed Buck.
Ed Buck.
Got sentenced to like a long time in jail for the killing of those two. I think he got sentenced in two of the cases. So, and I think it was like 70 years or something like that. And he's already super old. So, really happy he's off.
Yeah, he's over.
I've been watching all kinds of shit. Firstly, I hate that y'all are not watching The Wonder Years. It gets better and better.
Oh, I watch it. I watch it every week.
At large. Like, I don't see everybody talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It ain't the same buzz as like Abbott Elementary. Yeah, and it's a great show.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. Abbott Elementary finale happened, which I don't think we talked about.
It was great.
So great.
It was that was a perfect season of television.
Yep. It was perfect.
Like, it was
Quinta, the whole cast, like, they are killing it.
They live.
Black Lady Sketch Show was good, the first episode, and then declined.
Did you like the first two seasons?
I liked the first episode of each season, and then it gets progressively worse as it goes on. So,
I have a friend writing on it this season, so I'm going to give it a shot.
The last episode was okay. Like, I'm trying to just hang in there, you know, support everybody Black, but it's tough. I watched the Blackish finale and the special that came on after that. It was cool.
It didn't lost me.
I haven't watched Blackish in two seasons.
Blackish had Blackish had a special.
Yeah, so they had a series finale, and then right after they had a 30-minute, like, what has Blackish meant you?
If y'all can see Sean's face, Sean,
absolutely not. Y'all are going to let me speak on this. We're going to stop. Okay. I love Blackish, like everybody else love Blackish. Okay. And I've enjoyed the show. But we are not about to sit here and make this show some pinnacle of Black culture. Yeah. It did not move the needle like
some
that.
Some cultural movement.
It's not a different world. It's not Cosby. It's not none of that. It's not none of that.
Yeah.
It is okay.
It isn't. You not. Can't tell me there's no Gordon Gartrell episode.
No, you're right. It's not. But it still is the first Black family sitcom on a big three network since, I think, Fresh Prince. Like,
which and, is, which...
and since Bernie, if you count Fox, which is still a long ass time. So it counts for that, if nothing it, else.
I think it's, but this is the part, right? I think it's a great, I think it's a good quality show. I think it will do well in syndication as it's in syndication right now.
Right.
But nobody has ever said, oh my God, did you see Blackish this week? Never. Never has that happened.
Maybe in the early
in the early seasons. Like, I definitely said that. I said that for the Monopoly episode, 100%.
So we're going to take three episodes out of 8 years, and we're going to identify that those were the times. And I say this with no disrespect, because I think the show was great. But I think what happens is that, right, that lack of, like you said, it was such a long time, right, that those gaps make us affectionate to a show more than I think is really kind of
deserve
the reality.
Deserve, yeah. Okay.
And not even the dessert. Like, the reality of it is, it's like, yo, it's not. There's nothing particularly spectacular about the show. It just it wasn't a bad show. Like, that's the thing. Like, right. It wasn't a show that made you say, "Why is this show on?" But it wasn't necessarily a good show that made you feel like, "Oh my God, I gotta tune in because Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ellis Ross have this incredible chemistry that I can't stop watching."
You know what it is? You know what it is about Blackish?
I haven't watched the last two seasons. I haven't watched since they.
You know what it is about Blackish? Blackish is probably the first Black show, and this is actually a positive thing in a weird way. It's probably the first Black network show that has been allowed to live in mediocrity this long. Because that's there's a ton of white shows that it's like, that shit's still on? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't agree with you more because when I watch the show, I'm not moved. To me, they haven't really walked a great line at being able to sort of identify sort of that being heavy-handed with the it's like either everything is funny or nothing is funny.
Yeah.
And there's not a very fine line with that. So
I just wanted to say that I watched it.
I enjoyed the show, saying I'm a hater. I'm not saying none of that.
Because I was just trying to say
It did not.
You know what it is? It's like those shows on CBS, like the Chuck Lorre shows, like Big Brother and Two and a Half Men.
No, how is
Survivor?
Been lasting
for 12 years.
How did Two and a Half Men get that far?
As Charlie Sheen was gone, that show should have been over.
Yeah. They brought Ashton Kutcher in, that show is our version of that. But anyway,
one thing I do want to say with Blackish is that I am highly disappointed in Anthony Anderson for going back to the original Law and Order reboot, because I think it's the most boring role in his fucking entire career.
It must have paid him.
That's legit.
And also that reboot is catching a brick. And it said, I know he's going through a divorce or whatever, but that says to me that his options were limited, and it makes me sad. I feel like Anthony's career has been really inconsistent. But I'm just like, that was the most boring role, nigga. Like, why would you go back to that shit? Like,
probably because, like you said, probably because of the divorce.
Steady check, first and the 15th. Okay, that check coming. Got your benefits. You go to take them kids to see the dentist.
Your tag insurance, exactly.
The insurance is paid. Right. You know where you're working.
Yeah.
Okay. Because guess
what? He only signed on for a season, and I don't think it's going to get renewed either.
Guess what? Law and Order ain't doing though. Law and Order ain't moving. Okay. Right. It ain't Law and Order Wichita. Okay, it's going to be in New York City. I know what my expenses are going to be. I know what I can do here. And that's the thing about the other cool thing about New York, and what I don't think people really understand, is that guys like that, like actors that are for real about this acting shit, like they will go off and do 3-4 months on Broadway. They'll go do a play.
Yeah.
And eat between seasons and do things and go shoot a movie, you know, that might only need them for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at a time and stuff like that. So, like, I get it. And, you know, look, man, when you work as hard as those guys work to get to the bread, when your quote is your quote and they going to pay you your quote, I mean, it's hard to turn that down, man. It's hard.
I mean, how long has Ice-T been on SVU?
And I get that, right? Like, because Ice-T is also, like, the other thing I think that was kind of surprising to me about Anthony going back is, like, he's not Jesse, what you call it? Like, he's not, he wasn't even, like, a franchise player. Like, he was on the last two seasons of the series.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I heard that this time he's not getting a lot of lines. He's not whatever. And, I mean, listen, I understand the check is good. But I also feel like you coming off, you know, people are like, it's a network series. I'm like, he just came off of 8 seasons of a network series. Like, it's not like grown. I mean, it's not like Black History on Lifetime and all of a sudden you got pulled up to the majors. But I hear it about the check, but I also feel like acting is one of those things where, like, your last gig is your calling card. So I'm just kind of like,
his last gig was Blackish.
But to come off of that, but now his last gig is going to be this brick ass season one.
And ain't nobody checking for Johnny Anderson in this shit.
I'm
watching for Sam Waterston, by the way. Go ahead.
He's also going to be, it also looks to me like he wants to move into that Steve territory of being like the game show host. And I know he does some stuff on ABC and those are very easy. He's naturally funny. He's quick. He makes a great host. So I can totally see that happening. So yeah, I don't know how much they're going to commit to this Law and Order reboot because I don't think they're going to.
The ratings are dismal. The ratings are.
But I don't think that. But that's the thing about NBC and the commitment to that franchise is that I don't think that they're going. They'll probably give it 3 seasons at minimum. Just to, you know, they probably had a 3-season minimum pickup. I'd be very hard pressed to think that, you know, that they're gone after 1 season.
They're just done in 1.
Based on the franchise.
America is just sick of propaganda. To begin with, like, we're just tired of the police as a fucking entity, so creating a new show around that, and like, I feel bad for Stabler's show too, because it's actually a good show, but like,
Stabler has his own show either.
He has Law and Order Organized Crime that comes on after SVU, so they have like a 3-hour block on that's just not that great.
But the thing about the original Law and Order, and then I'll get off this, I know we've been on it for a minute, is that Law and Order went off. The original Law and Order went off a decade ago. TV in the last decade has changed by leaps and bounds. The only reason SVU, I feel like, is still going is just because of habit of the fucking viewers. It's just there every week. But for regular Law and Order, it's like when your mom be like, we got food at the house. Like, it's Law and Order everywhere. You can watch so regular Law and Order on 32 different channels. That shit is
all day, every day.
All day, every day. You can go back and watch. It's Law and Order in there. Like, you can go in there and watch that.
We don't need no new shit.
I watched just 2 more quick things. I definitely watched the Magic Doc. I watched the Abercrombie Doc.
Yeah. What'd you think?
On Netflix.
What'd you think?
I didn't realize it was all of this, like, this hullabaloo around Abercrombie, because that shit was never for me. I never took 2 looks at it. I'm not going in a store that's dark, and I'm not paying $70 for a polo shirt to look like these white people. So that was never my bag. Kids in my high school wore it, but it wasn't like some, you know, you're the greatest because you wear Abercrombie. Like, you were still very much into like polo and whatever black brands were happening in the late 90s. So all that shit, every single documentary has some old rich white man who is preying on young boys.
Yep. Every time.
I didn't know they had the whole catalogs and the niggas get naked and all that. That was crazy for me.
Yeah.
But I remember that because the mannequins used to be shirtless and shit too when I would walk past in the mall. And I was
I do remember the guys in the Santa hats with no shirts on because I worked in the mall in the holidays every year. So that was to me. But I overall didn't really care. And then the only other thing that I watched that I want to mention is The Principles of Pleasure on Netflix. I watched it on the plane coming back from Colorado. And
what's that?
I learned a lot. So it's all about women and sexuality. It's like 3 episodes, maybe 45 minutes. And it goes into like the orgasm gap, the, you know, women and hormones, the whole, like, it gets in there. Like, I felt weird because I was sitting next to like a teenager. And then all of a sudden it was like all these different like vulvas on the screen. And I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, not even like cartoons, shit. But like real
joints.
Anybody who wants to learn about what we were talking about earlier and like how to do all that, watch The Principles of Pleasure. Because even I learned something and I am a woman. So I thought it was very good, informative, and not like cringy.
Okay.
Made me happy. Sorry.
I've been watching, I watched Abercrombie Doc 2, and I feel like you did. It was just kind of wild, but it didn't move the needle as much for me. I watched Cypress Hill got a documentary on Showtime.
Oh. That's interesting.
It's all right. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. It still wasn't whack, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, you know, it was cool. It was cool. One of my favorite shows premiered last night, Barry, which is a show about a serial killer, but it's like a dark
Barry,
comedy.
Oh, Barry, why? Yeah, it came back last night. Barry was over. No, I love it. That shit is funny as hell.
Yeah, so that was good.
I just started it last night from season one. So.
Oh, yeah, it's dope. Barry's dope. Barry's really good. It's really good. Yeah, so that came on last night, so I watched that. And, you know, did my own shows. Them shits is on fire right now. I Put a Ring on it. It's just crazy this season. You know, Love and Marathons feels crazy, too. So they popping. And then I just wanted to mention Atlanta. This week's episode of Atlanta was just great. It was called White
Trash. Really good. This
I keep forgetting
season.
That Atlanta is back because I feel like people aren't talking about it. Yeah, I mean, y'all are obviously. I need to watch. I haven't watched any.
It's
of this
really good. Season. It's really. It's like honestly like.
It feels like a completely different show. Oh, it is. From it is. The first few seasons that we watched. Like it could be very well like. Detach everything you know from the first couple of seasons and just watch this blind.
Well, see, my theory to you, what you're saying, and we'll see if it plays out like that. I really feel like I won't be surprised if at the end of the season it was all like a dream because some things still kind of line up and make sense. And it's like, how the fuck? Like, and then they've had at least two or three episodes. I think the next one is two where none of the cast members are in it.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, like the reparations one, they weren't in that one. And what was the other one they weren't
in? The kid, the adoption joint.
The
kid,
the first, the premiere episode. And I feel like there might have been one more. And I think the next one from the trailer looks like they're not in that too. It's like and I really want to watch this. But they're fucking so good because my grandmother was this. It looks like somebody's grandmother was a caretaker for a white family. And she passes away, and it's about her funeral and the white people kind of experiencing a black funeral and all that stuff. So the trailer looked really interesting. But this episode was called White Fashion, and it's very interesting because now this season, Paperboy, like they're getting money now. Like when they first started, they was broke as fuck in Atlanta and just doing dumb shit, and putting out mixtapes and just trying to get a song, one spin on the radio. Now they're getting money. They're in Europe. Like he's wearing like the rapper fashions, you know, Miri and all this, you know, the shirts, the sweaters and all that, all the gold chains and the getting money. And so the premise of this episode was they did a takeoff on basically like what happened with Gucci when they did the thing with the lips. Because they make up a fashion line and the fashion line does a hockey jersey that says on the back, it says Central Park and in the middle it says 5. So they basically exploit the Central Park 5 shit.
Wow.
Yeah, so then they call Paperboy, they call Ernie Paperboy to try to help them fix it. And then it slides into like kind of like the pseudo Black Lives Matter stuff and how those people do things to get money and they're not really about helping the community. They're kind of more about helping themselves. So they got like a fake Sean King. They got a fake D-Ray. They're just really, really smart, man, this season. I mean, every season, but I'm really enjoying Atlanta. Like, it's really good.
The social commentary has been very spot on. Yeah.
And it's crazy because obviously they did these shows a while ago. So for them to be so current Like you would think like they just take some shit like last week. It's like, nah, they take this months ago, but they, and it's because, you know, with this, they took, you know, we talked last week about Alicia Garza, who, they're accusing of being part of the $6 million house. And so they're kind of like addressing that, but they take this so long ago, but it's still current. They're just really good. So if you're not watching Atlanta, watch it. It's dope.
I'm enjoying the character development too, because Earn certainly has grown up.
Oh yeah, Earn's grown. Yeah. Earn is like, I think a lot of people forget, if you remember the first season, Earn went to Princeton. Remember that he dropped out.
Right.
And now we're seeing how smart he actually is, how much smarter he is than everybody else. He really
and how much they need him.
And how much they need him. Yeah. He's dope.
Good.
Yeah, so I'm loving it. Did we talk about T.I. and his comedy?
I don't get it, but no, we haven't. But yeah. I just don't understand what's happening at all.
I don't understand why.
I don't think that he respects the craft of stand-up comedy. I think he thinks he's funny, and everyone around him has kind of regarded him as the funny nigga in the group or in the conversation or whatever.
That's very different.
He doesn't get that, like, making people who don't know you laugh is a whole other ball game.
The niggas who you pay.
Yeah. Right. And being on stage and that kind of timing and presence and consistency and language, like, that is all an art that you have to work out and figure out before you do this in front of people.
Yeah. And like, you know, like Steve Harvey mentioned this in the Fat Tuesdays doc, like how often you produce a house laugh, how often you do, like, everybody thinks comedy, and I've said this here before, watching comedians and cars getting coffee, like, I've always respected the craft of comedy, of good comedy, I've always respected it, but when you watch comedians and cars getting coffee and watch them talk about it amongst each other, you really realize how much goes into, like, the art form and the craft of building a joke, right, of tying back to a joke at the end of your set, like bringing back the reference. There's so much to it, and you have to be so smart to do it well. And a lot of people think it's just up there playing others, giving one-liners, and you can't do that. Even the comedians who did do that, like the Martins and the D.L. Hughleys, who were really good at, like, calling out audience members, they still had to build a set. Like, you still had to have a whole set, you know what I mean? Yeah. At the same time, it's like, but if T.I. is really going to get up there and work, that's one thing, but I don't know if his ego can take, like, I've heard he's not responding well to hecklers.
I'm sure he's not.
And stuff like that, and you have to be okay with that. Like, you have to die on stage multiple times before you get
and
good.
As a comedian, once other people know that, like, you respond that way to hecklers, it's not going to go away. Like, it's just going to get worse.
They want
to
get a rise out of you. They want to get a rise out of you. So they're going to come to your show to talk shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but so also, I don't know. Like, the whole thing with the attacking the woman who was hosting, that was just, it was just real corny to me. Like, what?
This isn't even funny. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just very weird.
And on a technical thing, T.I., when he's on stage, he approaches it like he's performing, like he yells like into the mic. He's not he's very loud, because that's what you do as a rapper. You have to make sure your voice is projecting. But he kind of does that, and as a comedian, he's very loud. He's very it's yelling. It's like, bro, like.
And there's very few comedians that works for.
No. So
good
luck, Tip. I mean, I don't know how it's gonna work, but God bless, man.
Speaking of, rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh yeah,
I don't think that we talked about.
Yeah, he died of. You're saying a long term disease, which I'm assuming must have been a cancer or something like that. But
it was multiple sclerosis. He had for a really long time, which I didn't realize. So
peace there. He's funny. He's a funny guy. Did you see this thing about the woman who did a $500 wedding?
Yeah, and I think it's tacky.
Pieces of it.
Okay, I want to know what y'all thought about it, because I mean, as me, I was just like, oh, that's cool. Like, she just
tacky as fuck. So can I set this one up? So this woman gets married. this woman gets married and they decide that they want to be economical, which I understand. You know, we're in an age.
Everybody ain't got thousands of dollars, you know.
We're in an age of DI. We're in a day age of, you know, ZYI. We've been there for some time and weddings are expensive.
Very.
But they wanted to spend as little money as possible. So what she did was they had attendees show up to, like, you know how some highways, especially those that are, I think they were on the Pacific Coast Highway, but some highways that are really scenic, they'll have shoulders where you can pull over, like kind of like lookouts. They had everybody show up to a lookout shoulder. They had not permit the first.
Oh,
not
really?
A fucking clearance, not a fucking city ordinance.
Not a guardrail to keep people from falling off.
Not a nothing. It's like they went out there, like when videographers do what's called a running gun, when you just go out somewhere and shoot.
It's about a mile and a half past exit 38.
Right. They did a running gun on the wedding. Like, they went out there and set up some shit real quick, set up the chairs real quick, and had to, like, speed through the shit so that they wouldn't get caught, and like, because somebody could have come and cleared them out at any moment. And then I think they just went to a regular ass restaurant for the reception where everybody paid for their plate. And here's
they didn't even pay for the food?
No, they went to like a regular ass restaurant where everybody paid for their food for the reception. So not even a real reception. And my thing is, like, there is economical and then there is cheap. This was cheap. And
this is borderline trifling.
It actually was trifling. I think it was extreme. I think it was the height of tackiness, right? Because it's like, you can't even set up proper sound. You can't control conditions. You can't do anything. And then, like, my thing is, if you're going to do all of that, do a just-to-the-peace wedding and just throw a party. Just throw a really relaxed party later. Like, if you want all the because you could have also got... Churches don't cost but a couple hundred dollars. So you want the scenic look, you want the ocean, you want all that shit, but you don't want to pay for it. Like, you got to reconcile that somehow, baby girl. My mother
also public beaches
never let me do that shit.
Yeah, public beaches will let you do something like that for a super nominal fee and just mark off like a tiny section of the beach. Yeah.
Right.
So
I'm just like, the only
part I didn't have a problem with was that she got her dress for $42.
Right. That I don't have a problem with.
Yeah, dress, brides get free dresses all the time.
Bridal dresses are supremely overpriced. So that I don't have a problem with. But actually, like, running and gunning your location and then just basically going out to eat as a big group and calling it your wedding reception, I just feel like it's tacky. And I feel like you maybe shouldn't have had a wedding that involves inviting people to partake in your day if you couldn't pay for it. I'm not saying your shit needs to cost thousands upon thousands of dollars, but this is not something you can afford and or are willing to do. Then maybe you do something else until you can't afford it. I just feel like
I want to know what the $500 was spent on.
Probably the officiant. You have to pay them.
They don't be charging $500.
Okay, maybe the officiant and the chair rental, because they did have chairs out there.
Oh, chairs. Okay, yeah.
And like the fabric that went on the wedding trip. They had like some little flowers.
Oh, they had like a hoopah or something.
Yeah, like I was about to call it a hoopah, but it's not a hoopah. But you know what I mean? Like that thing.
Yeah.
So you're not with it at all?
I'm not. I'm sorry. And like I said, there's economically responsible and there's cheap. And I don't believe in cheap. I believe that it's just because you can't even like, I doubt they had a professional photographer. You know, you couldn't even properly like set people up to take pictures and really take your time and do all that other shit. Again, it's a run and gun wedding. Who wants to do that? That's tacky.
Listen, she had me at the location. Like, I totally get, like, I don't want to pay for a permit. Let's just do this real fast. But the rest of it just progressively went downhill. Like, I can't rock with you on, you know, you couldn't get appetizers for these 27
even
people.
Even the location to me is.
Wings or something.
The location to me is bad. Like, she's lucky because it went well, but you're leaving way too much up to chance. That's my opinion.
That's
for your wedding day, you're leaving a lot up to chance.
It was so, even like the, I guess it was drone footage somebody got that showed all the cars parking up to the, like, it just looked very,
it was bad. Fucking janky.
I wanted to mention that get married.
It looks like it's starting to look like that your man Elon Musk is in position to buy Twitter. He's put his offer in. It looks like it's gonna. According to the reports, Yeah, they've been. It looks like it's gonna happen. Jack and the Twitter people are really like. It was a crazy money, like $43 billion or something stupid. Like,
there's not much I wouldn't do or sell for $45 billion.
Come on, what are we talking about?
Literally anything. Yeah. What do you want?
What you want? Cool. So, what do you think is going to happen to Twitter once he buys it?
I think that I think that is going to look a lot like it's going to be like it was when Trump was still on Twitter times 8 million. Like, because Elon,
Trump will get back on. Don't let him back on.
Oh, 100%. Because Elon is a libertarian, and libertarians believe that there's no moral right or wrong stance, that you just basically. It's whatever you feel like is best for you as an individual. They're individualists, right? So yeah. there is no greater good. There is no, this is right, this is wrong, this is fake news, this is reality. It just is. Like, who can debate their point better? It's going to be a fucking mess. And I mean, it may not be an immediate shift in the culture of Twitter, of the platform, but I feel like it's definitely going to erode a lot of the good things about it, about the community and about.
I know one thing I read that they were talking about was going to do subscriptions.
Yeah, he wants to make it a pay-based platform. So yeah.
It'll be like a Twitter Plus where you get like, the edit button and extra shit that you wouldn't get as a free user.
Bruh, if you don't want me on your platform, just say that.
Yeah.
You ain't got to do all of this. Because like, that's what I'm not doing.
I'm not paying a subscription for Twitter. I mean, here's the thing. I've been on Twitter for 13 years now. It'll be 13 years in September. Twitter has changed my career. I've met a hell of a lot of friends off Twitter. Mm. It's been dope. Mm. Shit, I ended up on this podcast off Twitter. Even though me and Jeff were people, it was because Jeff, Jeff was following me on Twitter. So It's like, I've made amazing friends off Twitter. I've built relationships. I changed my career, changed my fucking life. It's been fantastic. However, I will be out. But there's no place else to go. That's the sad part, another place to go. People have tried. The right tried, right? The right tried to build their own shit, to go talk shit. That shit didn't work. There's no place else. That is Twitter, and I do not think it's something you can duplicate at this point.
Funny that Elon Musk just tweeted a couple hours ago, I hope that even my worst critics remain on Twitter, because that's what what free speech means. Like you said, so he's not going to ban anybody.
He's not going to ban shit. No.
Oh, Lord.
It's going to be a fucking free-for-all, which is going to be...
And niggas which means people are going to be saying whatever they want.
Twitter in the early days was kind of the wild, wild west, but now, like, the divisiveness is so much more heated. I'm sorry, go ahead, Inka.
I was just going to say, Twitter has communities now. I don't know if y'all are in any private communities, but I enjoy it over there. It seems much... Like,
It's gated, it's nice, it's peaceful.
Yeah,
it's nice. Like, I'm in one with like all ladies, and it's nice. We don't have, there's more pictures posted in there, there's less, ashy men. It's kind of nice.
I think what we're gonna see is a really quick acceleration of what happened with Clubhouse. As more and more people started coming on and turning into mess, people started doing private rooms, or they would only come on Clubhouse for very specific reasons, or they would be in their clubs and their groups and stuff like that. But ultimately, I think it's gonna change, which is just unfortunate, because Twitter, for all its flaws, is a really excellent platform with multiple, I've learned so much on the platform. Again, just made great connections. I've laughed so much off this fucking platform. Trolls is coming. This is gonna
be it's gonna be brutal. It's gonna be brutal. I haven't watched the whole interview yet. I've just seen a clip or two, but I'm very interested. Meg Thee Stallion did an interview with Gayle King on CBS.
I watched it. It's on YouTube.
I watched it with the one clip of it. So the first clip they released, when she was talking about when Tory, I guess I have to say, still say allegedly shot her. But I'm going to watch the whole thing in a little while. But what I find interesting is, from a legal standpoint, I wonder what prompted her lawyers to allow this interview to happen pre-trial. Maybe just to kind of get her story out there and get people on her side.
I think it's because it's not Meg. Meg is not actually the one pressing charges against
her. True. She seems very credible, and I mean, it was smart, obviously smart as fuck, to go to Gayle King, who's obviously a very credible interviewer and a black woman. You know, that doesn't hurt as well. I mean, in watching the interview, the clip I saw anyway, I've always believed Meg anyway. Like, I'm always like, why? He's like, she lied. I'm like, well, why? I'm always like, why would she lie about this? What is the point in her lying about somebody shooting her? Why? She doesn't need, she's already famous. You know, she's already like out here popping. She's making money. Like, this doesn't enhance anything that she's doing. It's like, there's no reason. She doesn't need press. You know, I just understand why, but that's just, again, back to patriarchy. That's just niggas thinking whatever women say is bullshit. I'm like,
I don't get what is to be gained from going so hard for Tory Lanez's reputation.
I don't either.
Is he your father? What's happening? He's not even American.
I really believe it's just anti-women. That's the only thing I can think. The same way that, like, niggas are caping so hard for Future
again. The baby.
I really believe it's just anti-women. And it's like, and it's become like a thing to just not believe Meg. Yeah. And there's also still this resentment anytime a black woman dares speak out against a black man.
Yeah.
Like, we're just supposed to take that shit and let him flourish, which is like, Tory ain't even all that. Like, the nigga is...
I don't understand. Like, right. But niggas ride with this dude so hard.
Like, and even if he was, who makes up a story? Again, like y'all said, who makes up a story?
Why?
Like,
why?
You got me in my feet? The fuck?
Why would you? Why? In the interview, she goes into like what happened in the car.
Right.
Mm. And it's that they were having an argument. She's sitting in the front seat. Tory Lanez's driver was driving. Tory Lanez and her friend Kelsey were in the back. Tory was arguing. Meg wanted to go home from whatever party they were at.
Kylie Jenner's house.
Right. She had been there all day. She's like, I'm tired. Let's go. Nobody else wanted to go home. Mm-hmm. But they all came together. So they're arguing in the car and eventually leave anyway. The argument, she said, it just got out of control. It never should have got to that point where, like, she gets out of the car.
Right.
But she got out of the car. And Tory is fucking crazy. The reason she got out is because Tory and Kelsey were arguing at like a crazy dangerous level. That's when she knew that he had the gun. And when she was out of the car, Tory was still in the car, standing up out of like the window. The sunroof, shooting at her saying, dance, bitch.
Like on some Yosemite Sam shit.
Right. And she was scared to move. And so when he shot her, I don't think that he got a direct like shot into her foot, into her Achilles.
Right. Like a ricochet.
The bullet fragments are what went into her feet and caused her to, you know. So the lying part comes from when the police showed up, George Floyd had just happened. Meg was very scared and didn't want them to know that she had been shot or that there was a gun in the car.
Right, I knew that
part. She thought they were going to kill everybody on the scene. Right.
Yeah.
So she says, no, I stepped on glass.
Right.
And she kept that story until she got to the hospital. The police were about to leave and finish up the report. And the doctor comes in and says, there are bullet fragments in your feet.
Right.
Like, we got to take you to surgery. Yeah.
And she still didn't dime Tory out. What happened, if I remember right, tell me she said this, Inca, is that Tory's people went on defense first against her. And that's when she finally said that it was Tory. Because I remember her being like, I was trying not to say nothing. I was trying to protect your ass. Yes. But since y'all want to say it, yeah, Tory shot me or something like that.
We know that from being on socials, but she didn't say that in the interview.
Okay. But that's wild that she went out of her way, and she's kind of said this, I went out of my way to protect this black dude, this black man, and he's shitting on me, and so now I had to tell the truth because this nigga was shitting on me, and now y'all shitting on me for not protecting a black man who I tried to protect, but he shitting on me.
Who I tried to protect from violence towards me in the first place. That's the first thing. Like, this black man was violent towards me, I still tried to protect him, he still shitted on me, now y'all mad after he was violent towards me and then shitted on me. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's crazy.
And what kills me is that people treat it as though it's a tiff, like it's a he said, she said, like it's a petty beef, and it's like, no, this, we're talking about violence. We're talking about acts of violence.
Yeah, right? shut up.
Talking shit. We're not talking about he fucked a girl. It's acts of violence. Like, mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about.
It's wild, man. The last thing I wanted to mention is, well, there's a couple things, but one thing I could wait. I just wanted to tap into real quick. We don't talk too long. We haven't talked about it yet. The whole, this kind of, this part of this thing, the whole Russell Wilson is corny kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Sierra should have stayed with Future and, you know, and all this shit, which is so, that we podcast.
Haven't talked, we haven't tapped into
it? No, we didn't. We never talked about it.
Yeah,
we talked about it on the chat, but I don't think we ever talked about it on the show. But that podcast, like, can't remember the name of the damn podcast.
I can't either, but that nigga is an idiot.
Ryan Clark, yeah, Channing Crowder.
Channing Crowder is fucking
talking about being an
idiot.
Being a cat. Yeah.
Wait, Channing just interviewed Shaq, and yeah, Shaq literally said that his divorce from Shawnee was his fault. And the nigga was trying to be like, yeah, but wasn't it too? And
what about her though?
Like, Shaq is literally like, it was my fault. Dude, yeah, like, she did everything she was supposed to do. It was my fault. If I was Channing Crowder's wife, because he is married, we'd be having some serious conversations.
Yeah, yeah. Because the last couple of weeks between the Shaq thing and the there's no way, you know, Sierra should
there's
have
no
left
way Sierra first, has a type. There's no way she's with that nigga for real. And she wouldn't be with that nigga if he wasn't a football player. I'm like, all these people are famous. None of these people would be with any of these other people if they weren't where they are. Like, they wouldn't know each other. Like, it's
the outside in. You never know. But they seem like they're a pretty happily married couple. They're living a great life. Like, mm-hmm. where would Sierra be? And, you know, and y'all know Future's my nigga as far as the music goes. But where would Sierra be if she stayed?
Wait. Let me interrupt. Because I met Sierra right after her breakup with Future. I was Sierra's product manager at Epic. And I met her.
On Epic for a little
yeah,
while.
I met her not too long after baby Future was born. She and Future were already split before the baby came. That's the part people forget. Like, they had been broke up when she met and started dating Russell. They had been broke up for almost a year, mm-hmm. right? So it's like, it's not like she left Future for Russell.
Yeah.
She was already, like, she was out of that relationship. They were barely communicating except through lawyers. She was already keeping him at a distance, and he was already trying to manipulate shit. Like, he wouldn't show up for their scheduled child handoffs, but he would show up if he knew she was in town, like that type of shit, where she would try to schedule it so that she wouldn't be around when he was there. So I say all this to say is, like, I don't understand anybody. If you look at Sierra's dating history, right, it's not like there's the public dating history, let's put it that way. So we've had Bow Wow, 50 Cent, Amari Stoudemire, I heard there was Cam Newton for a hot second. I don't remember that one.
You know about Future, more than that.
And then Future and then Russell. And the two longest in that was Bow and 50. She was with Future for a year.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't remember.
A real couple.
She was with Future for a year. She's been married to Russell for 6 years already. They got two more kids. I don't even understand why this is still a conversation. It's very fanboyish. It's very stupid. And what it also tells me is that, going back to talking about how we said before, that some men are growing up to just not see women as anything but providing, like, service and labor.
Mm-hmm.
There's it's this shock that, like, a woman, like, they want to believe that if a no good nigga fucks with a woman, he ruins her, right? Like, no decent man is gonna want her after that, because what that allows is some other not shit niggas to slide on in and be like, you lucky you just got anything. So the fact that Sierra a leveled up, married a good man who was willing to take on her with a child, with a famous rapper, right? Yep. Who ain't shit. There's some men who seem to not be able to reconcile that. Like, there must be a catch. There must be something to it. And I'm like, when you look at Sierra and Russell, their faith aligns, their family values align. They look like they came together in a fucking box set. Like, these niggas look like God put them on earth to be together and procreate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's an athlete. Like, they are in direct alignment. The only thing that can confuse you is you wanting to believe that the nigga in the streets always wins, that women always want that. That's the only thing that can confuse you. But any grown woman wants to wrestle over a future
in a million years.
Can we just define corny? Like, what makes him corny? I don't know.
Because they saw him with a Hawaiian shirt on once. Because he's not a womanizer? Because he ain't out here cursing and getting high and out in the clubs?
Acting like AB.
Yeah, because his first wife cheating on him. Like, it's like all the shit that they are defining corny. And he might be a little bit of a square. But, like, that's okay. Like, because that nigga is handling business. Like,
he's still he's a good-looking guy. He's a fucking Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Like,
right. He's making,
like, $60, $70 million a year now with this new contract. Like,
I
don't get the corny part. I'm like, what?
Stepped right in to be an amazing father to be amazing before father.
That kid looks like him along. Now. That kid look like him now. Like, that's how much.
And again, Future's my Future's my nigga when it comes to the music. You know, he's flagrant. But like, Future got 7 kids by 7 women.
That's what I'm saying. How many? You can't tell me any day of the week that nigga's happy. But it also goes to like how people were actually mad that Lori Harvey got out of that relationship without
went to a guy like is it Michael's, you know, he's a good looking guy, he makes a ton of money, they seem to really love each other, they're very happy, right. Like, what was she supposed to do, stay with this? I mean,
niggas be really mad when like there's a baddie and they want to see her ruined.
She gets away.
It's crazy. It's like it's a video game. Like, let's
leads to like this. You know, I don't know if it's white or black society, or be like, I'm gonna use black because that's what I know. Black society in general, like when that fake rumor was around about ASAP Rocky possibly cheating on Rihanna,
right.
And people were like almost like happy about
people
it. Like,
happy.
It's like, wait, that's what terrible.
Are you doing?
People are mad. Pregnant, and you're happy that she possibly got cheated on. Like, what are you talking about?
No, people are mad that Cassie is happily married. Like, it's mad. So crazy. People are mad. They like, she was with, she said she didn't want to get married when she was with Puffy. All of a sudden, she married with 2 kids. Yeah, she didn't want to marry him. Like, exactly. I don't understand. Like, what? Who would want to marry?
And the thing is, the niggas that these women leave, whether it's Future, whether it's Puff, you know, whatever it was, those niggas don't change their flow.
Ever. They go on to have relationships, and nobody is bad-mouthing the woman that comes after Cassie or Sierra, like they do the man.
Like, what I'm saying is like they treat the new woman just like involved. They treated the Sierra, whoever. Sure. Like there's no looks like no serious intentions. It's just like a bunch of, you know, fucking and having a good time, and then the woman's hidden away half the time. You don't know where she is, and it's like,
which is crazy because like, nigga, you 50. Like,
come on. That's what I'm saying, nigga. Right. You're 50.
Come on.
Puff is older than that.
Is Carisha pregnant? Is it?
No, I think that was an old picture.
Oh, okay.
She posted the picture. She posted that picture, and she said, "I'm about ready for baby number 3." Because you know that's the other thing people don't realize. Carisha has 2 children.
Right.
That's 2 children. She keeps it low. Yeah, she has 2 children.
Let me tell you something.
And so she said, she's basically saying, "I want to have another kid." That's why she posted herself being pregnant. So
I didn't even know. Puff and Carisha were still seeing each other. That's A. But B, I'm hopeful that Sean John Combs is smarter than to have yet another fucking baby.
I bet he does.
That would make his oldest like 30.
No.
With the newborn? Are you dumb?
Quincy is like 32, so Justin gotta be.
Justin close. Be 29, 30, something like that. Yeah.
That's
because Christian is in his. Chris has got to be like 24, 25.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Even the twins and.
Yeah, Justin's 28.
The twins and Chandler are 16.
Yeah, they're juniors in high school. Somewhere.
I didn't even realize that was Chance with Puff at the Oscars because she was old. I was like, is that Chance? What the fuck? Like,
A grown woman. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Puff, it's not about, you know, just in Puff, you know, personally, but it's like, wow, the like Puff girl is. Like the same age as Justin.
That's insane.
It's literally insane. The same age. He's like 27, like, I think.
Puff, get out of the club. Go home. Like, that's really all I mean. And
he ain't never letting it go. He was at Coachella watching him perform last week.
Home.
Go that's what
home.
You couldn't pay me to do. Go to fucking Coachella.
It's a lot of people at Coachella this year that I've never seen at Coachella before.
I saw the drone footage, and I'm like, if you're in the middle of that crowd.
That crowd is was crazy.
Well, they're in VIP. That's why. There are trailers in the back.
Still,
right. And in a barricaded area, but still, I can't. All that see, I'm not a festival person. And I can't do it.
I think the last festival I went to was Made in America, which is literally held on like a freeway overpass in Philly. Like, it is dust central. It's disgusting.
And
by the end of the
that.
Day, I was covered in a layer of just.
And you straight, you good.
I feel bad for the hotel towels.
The last,
I got my life, but never again.
Nah, the last for real festival, like outdoor festival, I did was the Roots Festival, which is like it's on the plateau in Philly. That's the last. That's the only outside festival you're gonna catch me at. Other than that, I'll be at Essence where I have a seat.
Yeah,
yeah. Watch
Roots
the shit.
It's quite
watch the
controlled, but I think I'm done with Essence too. Since they made that movie, it's. There's just
girls.
Like, I'm not standing in line for a fucking margarita.
I want to see what it looks like this year if the numbers have gone back down a little bit. But Girls Trip definitely.
That definitely boosted up crazy. Yeah.
I think I got into Essence right in the sweet spot. So man. I don't know if I'm going back.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up on that note.
Listen, if you're making a music festival for like real adults with seats and shade. And,
you know, there's one coming up in Mother's Day weekend in Atlanta with Mary, Chaka Khan.
Oh, the Strength of a Woman Festival.
Yeah, the Strength of a Woman Festival.
But there's also, there's some festival happening, I want to say it's in Red Rocks. It's, is it the Blue Note Festival or something? But it's like Maxwell and Robert Glasper. It's like grown people lit. Shit.
Okay.
I'll send it to you. But it's like
end up at Spirit Fest this year. Have you been to Spirit Fest?
Mm-mm.
What is that?
It's in Columbia, Maryland. It's always like Erykah Badu and like.
Oh, okay.
It's at Meriwether Post Pavilion where they had
Rock
the Bells.
There.
Yeah. But it's like all older people. Sometimes there's a little gospel in there, but you can bring your cooler.
It's a lot of wine drinking and
Mary wine and food trucks.
Uncle Sandals and a lot of sundresses with.
That's
with
what
big,
I need.
With big ass straw hats.
Some place where I can bring my chair and bring my cooler.
It's
and chill out. That's all I need. That's all I need.
And if you want to see, you can pay a little extra. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, sorry.
Ah, yeah. So we out of here. We will see y'all next week.
Later.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast.